Amen. Thanks, Chris. A powerful time of worship this morning, and so thankful for what was already a praise for our worship team who leads us and prepares our hearts and minds just to hear the word and for the Spirit to move. We are in week 7 of our series, Preach Grace, going through the book of Galatians. It's been a powerful, challenging series, and we're going to keep this thing going. As I do with every week, I want to start with Galatians 1. Verses 3 through 5. It will not be on the screen behind you. Here's what it says. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today we're going to dive into Galatians 5. We're nearing the end, people, okay? There's Galatians 6, and then we're done, but I might spend, you know, like 3 weeks in Galatians 5. Who knows? But it's all good stuff. But we're going to be in Galatians 5, and we're just looking at the first few chapters, or paragraphs, rather. And I'm gonna read to you a little bit from the beginning, and it's kind of Paul kind of recapping all that he had talked about in the last four chapters, all the things that are coming against them, and then he comes in with a challenge, and that's where I'm going to bring it in as well. So let's dive into Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. Here's how he starts it out. Christ has liberated us to be free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, tell you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to keep the entire law. And you who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. I want to pray. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the Spirit who brings us the revelations to your word to challenge us, change us, and transform us. God, may your word and your Spirit speak directly to us today. May all distractions and all hindrances be cast aside so that your Spirit can move in us and through us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So he's talking about, you know, you hear this word over and over again. Paul talks about slavery, going back to slavery, this yoke of slavery, and he's talking about being free from the law, the ways of the law, having to perform or do these duties in order to reach salvation. And he says, why are you guys going back to slavery when Christ has freed you and liberated you? And so in this law, there's performance, there's earning grace. And I love what he says in verse 1. He says, stand firm then and don't submit again. Because you used to live in that way. You used to live that lifestyle. You used to live in that sin. He says, don't submit. And I was thinking about it last week. We talked about drifting and how easy it is to drift. And what he's saying to them, he's reminding them, hey, listen, it is very easy to drift back into your own ways. Don't submit, don't drift back. Last week I told you guys a drift happened shirt would be really cool. Well, I made one. Yeah, so it just says drift happens, remember grace. Anyway, someone asked me if they could buy one. No, you can't. You can rip this one off of my body if you want, but we might fight. So anyway, drift happens. Just wanted to throw that out there. So really, what's he saying? He said, listen, don't waste time on those things anymore. Don't waste time on things that don't benefit you. Don't waste time on things that don't benefit you spiritually, emotionally, or physically. Don't waste time on things that won't benefit others. We get so caught up in all these laws and all these ways and all this performance and all this earning grace, and it doesn't benefit you because all you need is Christ. And when you get Christ, the Spirit within you will compel you to be like Christ and live like Christ. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to go back. Don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Then he follows it up. And he goes into verse 3, and he says, he that gets himself circumcised. So if you were going to live by the law of circumcision, then that means you have to live by the entire law. You can't pick and choose which ones you want to do for your motives and your own benefit. And man, can I tell you, being a Christian, being in church, being in ministry, I've ran into a lot of picky, choosy Christians. You know what I'm saying? They'll take the Bible, they'll take a verse out of context, they'll focus on a couple of things and be really, really bold and zealous about these things, and everyone has to do these things, but in the meantime, they don't want to follow everything else. These things that they're focused on make them look good, benefit them. It's something that they're good at, and it's easy to judge others because they're good at it. I've so many people. And so there, you know, throughout my Christian life, there's this whole argument about Bible translations, and someone will tell you, well, it's got to be this Bible translation, but they don't tithe. Oh, what did I, my bad, sorry. They'll get really caught up on, you know, don't say certain cuss words, because if you say certain cuss words, that's bad, but they'll go and gossip nonstop, right? They'll say things like, you can't get tattoos, that's what sinners do, right? But at the same time, they get drunk multiple times a week. You see what I'm saying? I'm throwing out some pretty outrageous examples. I mean, the tattoo thing's funny, because people love to pull scripture on the tattoo thing, and they say, well, Leviticus says in Leviticus 19:28, you shall not mark or cut yourselves the way the pagans do. Well, all right, if you're going to go from Leviticus, you better be ready to go from Leviticus, okay? I mean, we can go back, and this is my favorite. We can go back one verse to Leviticus 19:27, and here's what it says. Don't trim the edges of your beard. So look around. Some of these guys with their faces trimmed, y'all are sinners, okay? That's when you know it's a good joke. But you guys catch my drift here. We do that sometimes. We get so caught up on these things, and we think they're necessary. But really what I've noticed is all those things are just fluff. I'm calling them fluff. Fluffy, it's fluffy faith. It's work-based faith. And fluffy faith keeps laws that benefit the person who is doing them. It's for their good, and it makes them look good. It's fluff. It really, most of it doesn't carry any weight to it. The thing that carries the most weight is that Jesus Christ, by his grace, God by his grace, went to the cross for our sins. That's what carries weight. We are saved. We are justified by grace. And he goes into that in verse 4. You're trying to be justified by the law. But in trying to be justified by the law, what you are doing is you're alienating yourself from the only thing that can justify you, and that is Christ, and it is through his grace. Christ came in and he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled that performance-based faith. He did it once, and he did it for all, so that they would not have to keep the law, so they would not have to keep sacrificing animals, so that they would not have to keep doing these things, because Christ did it. And he did it, and he was the perfect sacrifice. It's in him and through him that we are justified. We're not justified by the law. We're not justified by works. We're not justified by earning grace. We're justified by grace and grace alone. You see, performance-based faith, religion and works, performance-based faith begets performance-based faith. Here's what I'm saying. If you are someone that thinks they have to continually perform to keep your grace or to earn your grace, that will be a constant cycle for you. And it'll never be good enough, and you'll never perform good enough, and you'll never be able to do it, and it'll be this constant struggle your entire life, and in the midst of your struggle to try to perform to earn grace, you will miss grace altogether. And too many people do that. They think that the weight is on them, but Jesus already took the weight on himself. It is by grace that we are saved. Galatians 1:10, it says, for am I now trying to win the favor of people or of God? You see, when we're out there trying to perform to earn grace, what we're looking for is man's approval. But God sent Jesus already. He approves of Jesus Christ and what he did for you, and your acceptance of him is enough. Am I trying to win the favor of people or God? If I were trying to still please people, I would not be a slave to Christ. You know, within this, Paul says this, you can work for it or don't work for it. It doesn't matter. You want to know what matters? And he ends it up in verse 6. Here's what matters. It is faith working through love. It's faith. It's a belief in who Jesus is and what he did, working through love, doing what Jesus did for you and giving that to other people, right? What we didn't deserve, what we don't deserve, the love, the grace, the kindness, the mercy, the forgiveness, those things that were given to us by him, we then take those things and give them to others. We don't judge, we don't condemn, we don't put these rules, restrictions, or requirements on people. We love them. And so all of that is a recap of what Paul's been talking about. He took it and he put it into a few verses and said, here we go. Now, I wanted to recap that really quick because now Paul goes, I got a challenge for you. I need you to see where this is going, and I need you to be careful about what could happen. We talked about drifting, and now he's going to talk about what I'm calling the fluff. So let's get into Galatians 5, verse 7. Here's what he says. You were running well. You were going after it. You got the grace, and you were going after Christ. What prevented you, or who prevented you from obeying the truth? Now, this persuasion did not come from the one who called you, Jesus. In verse 9, this is really, a little yeast leavens the whole lump of dough. You know, the first time I read that, I'm like, what? This doesn't belong here, right? Like, what? You're running. You prevent him from being the truth. The persuasion didn't come from the one. He's like, hey, guess what? A little yeast goes through the... He's like, I was baking at the time and just kind of wrote that in there. A little yeast leavens the whole lump of dough. And he goes on, and we're going to go through this, but I'm going to read it all to you now. I have confidence in the Lord that you will not accept any other view other than the gospel of grace, but whoever it is that is confusing you, they're going to pay the penalty. Now, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I love these words. I wish those who were disturbing you might also get themselves castrated. So they're out there talking about you getting circumcised. Well, I want them to be castrated. Paul's a little fiery right here, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's wishing for people to be castrated. Anyway, so we're going to go back to verse 9. And we'll get into some of these other verses. A little yeast leavens the whole lump of dough. Now, again, you could read this and be like, that verse 9 doesn't belong there. But really, he's just kind of changing his illustration. And people would understand what this means. The Jews, the Israelites, the Gentiles, they would all understand. So leaven is an influence that works subtly to lighten or modify something. Now, you and I would know it in cooking, right, or for bread. I think, you guys have that picture? Did you get that picture up for me by chance? Okay, so here we go. There's leavened bread, and then there's unleavened bread. Now, come on, be honest. Which one do you want? Right, you want the big fluffy one. It's the big fluffy one that we like, and it looks good, and it looks tasty. This one, on the other hand, I don't know. But isn't that the way of the world and the way of sin? It looks good, it looks really enticing, but at the end of the day, those carbs aren't good for you. You know that, right? They're just not good for you. Here's a question I want you to ask somebody next to you. Say, is your faith flat or is it fluffy? Go ahead. Is your faith flat or is it fluffy? And before you answer, let me finish my sermon. So, here's what I know, and you probably know as well. Carbs make me fluffy, right? And I know that. And a couple years back, I decided to not cut carbs completely, but man, really like take them out, like lower my carb intake. Because at the end of the day, a lot of the carbs I'm taking in, whether it's food, sugar, whatever, they're unnecessary. I don't need them. They're the carbs I'm talking about, the bad carbs. I don't need those carbs. They make me. So I cut them a few years ago. And I did it for a while, and then I got away from it. So at the beginning of this year, I was like, you know what? I'm getting back to that, because the moment that I began to cut carbs, my fluff began to go away. Like, I didn't do anything else. I just cut the carbs, and I naturally just slimmed down because I cut the fluff. And so I'm working on this, and I'm doing really good, and about a month and a half into this thing. And then Paul, if you know Paul, he was up here singing, did a phenomenal job. He also works at the coffee house. Paul decides that he's going to make these amazing cookies. The salted brown butter chocolate chip cookie. Have you guys, any of you guys had one of these cookies? They're delicious. They're so amazing. And I'm like, Paul, I hate you right now. I'm sorry. Pray for me, because I found myself, he's like, just try one. You want to make sure it's good? I'm like, yeah, okay, I better try it, because if it's not good, I don't want to sell it. And so I'm like, I'll try one. And I'm like, this is so good. And then a week later, I find myself 3 or 4 times a night bringing one home to eat while I'm going to bed. And guess what happens? I'm getting fluffy again because of Paul. Thanks, Paul. Who wants a cookie? Anyone want a cookie? Oh, look at that. You just came up. See, that's... You're welcome. I suggest sharing that with a friend or two. So the cookie, it's tempting and it's tasty and it is good, right? Not good for me, but it's good. And the same, and you wouldn't think this, but the same is true of the law, of what Paul is preaching to. And the law is tempting and tasty, and here's why. Because the law, this performance-based, this work-based faith, it may bring temporary prestige, accomplishments, and pride. And so, hey, if you do these things, other people will look at you and think, look how holy and look how righteous and look how religious. They must have it going on if you do all of these things. And it begins to fluff them up, give them an ego. And these things they do, they fluff us up. And what they tend to do is it makes us harder for us to see and experience Christ because we forgot about the grace that was given to us and that it was given to us freely. Many times we get the grace, we're so thankful for it, and we receive the Spirit, and along the way we begin to drift, and other people begin to speak into our lives and saying, hey, do this, do that, do that. And I don't think anyone is thinking, oh, this is going to be a bad thing, but we're trying to grow who we are in Christ, but in trying to grow who we are in Christ, sometimes we drift into other areas, and so we focus on what we can do, right? We get the grace, we receive the grace, and then we start focusing on all the things that we can do. And in focusing on all the things that we can do, and we begin to be pointing at ourselves, we forget what Christ already did. And it's so easy to lose sight of the grace that was given to us, that we start focusing on, and that's how the enemy works. He wants you to lose sight of the grace that God gave you. Get you focused on all of these other little things, these fluffy things that really at the end of the day don't carry as much weight as we like to think they do, so that we'll forget about what Christ did. And when we start forgetting about what Christ did for us, we stop giving that to other people around us. And we lead into judgment, hypocrisy, gossip, you name it. We could go on and on and on. And just like carbs make us fluffy, anything added to grace makes it fluffy as well. Now, just a quick disclaimer here. Paul's cookies won't affect your salvation. Just wanted to throw that out there. Now, Paul, in Corinthians, he uses this same phrasing. In 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, and he's talking about this puffing up of self and this ego and this pride and how the yeast works and it fluffs us up. And he says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast permeates the whole batch of dough? What does he say? Clean out the old yeast so that you may be a new batch. You are indeed unleavened, for Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. I love what it has been done. Our Passover, it is finished. In Christ, it is done. Therefore, let us observe the feast, but not the old feast or the old yeast or with the yeast of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It's a very powerful statement. And if one is to say, yeah, I'm for that, but it's so easy to move away from it and to go back into old ways, old habits, or to even begin to develop some new habits that from the outset, we weren't like, this is gonna be bad, but they develop into things that can be bad. And one of the things that I've come to realize and believe is that American churches and Christians have fluffed up the gospel for far too long. And it's time to get back to the truth. The truth of the gospel. The gospel of grace, listen to me, it doesn't need any fluffing. We don't need gospel fluff, we need gospel truth. People are desperate for it, to hear the truth, to hear about grace, to hear about love, that they don't need to show up a certain way or to act a certain way. All they need is the love of Christ in their life and for us to support them as they're getting it. It's gospel truth. Flat faith. And I know that sounds like a negative thing, right? Oh, your faith is flat. That's not what I'm... This faith that is pristine, it's cut, it's nice, it's got no fluff to it. It is what it is. It is the gospel of grace. Flat faith is full of grace. Flat faith says, I am going to deny myself and pick up the cross. And it points to Christ. Flat faith says, don't look at me, look at him who is doing a work within me. Flat faith is full of goodness. And flat faith says that grace is enough. Fluffy faith, on the other hand, says, or is full of works. All the things that I can do, all the activity that I can be doing, all the things that I need to continue doing in order to keep or earn grace. And then in that, there's boasting in self. It points to us. It puffs us up. You know, it's full of carbs, but really these spiritual or religious disciplines that we think are going to help us but really don't. Fluffy faith tends to try to add to grace, but nothing needs to be added. And it's one of those things where we just need to make sure and be aware that just like we are, you know, maybe want to not do as much carbs because we don't want to be as fluffy, we need to cancel the spiritual carbs that we're trying to add to our life. Faith by works, look at me, faith, boasting in self versus looking at Christ. Yesterday, during our men's group, we went through one of the chapters in our book called Permanent Markers. And one of the profound things that we all came to is talking about what imprint are you leaving? Is the imprint that you're leaving on others, is it of you or is it of Christ? And this is so important because I think so many of us, especially as men, we like to do, we like to accomplish, and we do these things, and we do them in the name of Christ, but oftentimes we get caught up in boasting in self. And so the question was, is the imprint you're leaving of you or of Christ? And we came to this realization that if it's an imprint of me, it is imperfect. It is sinful. It is flawed. But if it's an imprint of Christ, it is perfect. And it is all that we need. And I think about that as we talk about flat faith versus fluffy faith. Flat faith says it's the grace of Christ. That's all you need. That's all I want to preach to you. Whereas fluffy says, hey, look at what I'm doing. You need to do it too. And when we leave an imprint of Jesus on others, that's a legacy that we get to leave. That's what we want to do. I talked about it with our students this week about Paul talks about imitating him as he imitates Christ. I don't want people to imitate Brent because I am flawed and I'm still trying to figure this thing out, but I want people to see Jesus within me. I want to see the grace that he's given me, and I want people to see that grace is flowing out of me. That's what flat faith looks like. It's not adding all these things, but it's just showing them the way to Christ. In Matthew 16:6, and also in Matthew 6:5, Jesus kind of talks about this. It says this in 16:6, and then Jesus told them, watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I think from what I explained to you, this is what Jesus is talking about. They are going to put all these things on you. You're going to have to follow all these rules. You're going to have to do things a certain way. And then and only then will you be forgiven and saved. He's saying, watch out for that. That is not the way. There is a new way. And he goes on like this, what they're doing and how they're doing it, it's a fluffy faith. It puffs them up. It makes them look good. It fills their ego. In Matthew 6:5, he says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. It's a wrong motive. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. It's not to point people to Christ, but to say, hey, look at me and look how holy and righteous and good I am. And that's not the faith that we want to live. We want to live a faith that points people to Christ. And when we start living a way that says, look at me and look at what I'm doing, we begin to put these expectations on other people that says, you need to act the way that I do and do the things that I'm doing. And when we do that, instead of doing a good thing for them, we lead them astray. We end up putting stumbling blocks in front of them, and we end up putting blockers in front of the grace that has already been given to them. Paul goes on in Galatians 5, verse 10. He says, I'll have confidence in the Lord that you will not accept any other view. And he says, but whoever it is that is confusing you, they will pay the penalty. Now, he doesn't really get into what this penalty is, but there is a penalty. And I don't know about you, but anytime I hear penalty, it's not good, right? So it's not going to be good for them. There's this penalty when we add to, when we fluff up grace, whether it's leading people astray or becoming a stumbling block or putting parameters or requirements on people's faith or judging them because they're not doing things the way that we think or feel strongly about. There will be a penalty when we try to add to grace. Paul again follows it up in Romans, or talks about it in Romans in chapter 4. Oh, and I love these verses of scripture. It's Romans 4, verse 13, and it's 16 through 19, actually. And it says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Verse 16 says, do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. The kingdom of God is not a matter of circumcision versus uncircumcision, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Serve Christ, that's be acceptable to God and approved by men. Do nothing else. Serve Christ, be acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes peace and is for mutual upbuilding. What are we going to focus on? We're going to focus not on all these things, not on all this fluff, not on all these, but just serving Christ and serving others. That's what we want to focus on. We're going to talk about the law, and I might be getting ahead of myself, but Jesus sums up the law in those two things. Love God and love others. That's it. Do that. And whatever it is that you think God is calling you to do to love God and love others, go after that. But don't think that what you're doing, everyone else has to do. Don't think that in order for someone to be as holy and righteous as you, they have to do all the things that you are doing. He talks about this penalty, and then in verse 12, where we already talked about it, it says, I wish those who are disturbing you might also get themselves castrated. So I talked about that a little bit, and you know, they're very harsh words, and it's a very disturbing visual, he's serious about it, because he's saying, like, all this fluff, and I'm going to take it in a bit of a different direction, all this fluff, all these things you're trying to do, they don't need to be there. Man, let's just cut them out. Let's just get rid of them. Let's just cut out the fluff. Let's get rid of the restraints that we either consciously or subconsciously add to grace. Let's remove anything that will hinder anyone from knowing and experiencing the love of Christ. And it's easy to get caught up into. Hebrews 12:1, it says this specifically, let's lay aside every weight in the sin that so easily ensnares. And every weight in sin is a broad thing. So it could be anything. It could be talking about the law. It could be a sin that you keep going back to. But all of this stuff, all of this fluff, let's cast it aside. Let's be rid of all of that. And then do what? Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's lay aside the fluff. All these things that we try to put on who God calls us to be, and let's just focus on who Jesus is and what Jesus did, and let's give that love and grace and mercy and kindness and forgiveness to others. That's what Paul's talking about. And if you try to live by the law, if you try to live by man-made rules and religions and restrictions, you're going to miss what God is calling us to, and that is to love others and to preach grace. And it closes the whole thing out, this whole challenge. And he starts it with, hey, you are free. Through Christ, you are liberated. You are free. In verse 13 of chapter 5, he says this, and you were called to be free. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. It's kind of what I'm talking about, this performance, this work, this how can you build yourself up. No. Don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another. Here it is, through love. And he ends it with this, for the entire law is fulfilled in one statement. You're trying to do all these things, you're trying to put all these rules, you're trying to make people do all this law. Paul comes in, he says, listen, the entire law is summed up in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as Christ loved you. Offer them grace. Offer them kindness. Offer them mercy. Love them as yourself. Because grace called you and it freed you to love. Not to condemn, not to judge, not to put on other requirements on people. Grace freed us to love and give grace as it was given to us. And that's something that we've got to remind ourselves of every single day, because it's very, very easy to drift into or go back to some of the ways or even some new ways that people want to put on us. So as I round this out, I wonder, how has your faith gotten fluffy? Maybe for you it's box-checking faith. You're just going through the motions. You're doing the things that, man, you're supposed to do, or that your parents taught you to do, or you're following along with traditions. It's box-checking faith. You're just checking off boxes. Maybe for you it's talking the talk faith. You're really, really good at sounding the part, but that's about it. Maybe it's judging faith, where you tend to look at others and condemn them and judge them because they haven't got to where you're at right now. Or, you know, you like to point the finger at them so no one looks at your life. It's judging faith. Maybe it's idle, purposeless, no-risk faith, where you come and you hear the word and you experience the worship and you see God's church and God's people working and moving, but you're idle and you're purposeless and you're not taking any risk and you're not being obedient to the calling that God has you. In James 1:22, it's one of my favorite verses, it says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. We're called to go. We're called to move. We're called to what we're talking about here. We're called to preach grace to others. Because if you have found Christ, if you have been saved by grace, guess what? There are other people out who have not yet been saved by that grace, and it's our call to preach it to them. So is it an idle, purposeless, no-risk faith? Maybe it's a fake faith, fake fluffy faith, where you're really, really good at putting on the show. You know the right things to do. You know the right things to say. You know how to act around certain people. And basically, you're a hypocrite and you're two-faced. And the moment you're not around those people, you act a different way. Fake faith. Maybe it's a task or works-driven faith, kind of a lot what I've been talking about, where you're setting out to do all these things for your glory and for your own self-pride. Or maybe it's an over-spiritualizing faith, where you take everything to the nines and you over-spiritualize every single thing. And if you can over-spiritualize every single thing, people will think more highly of you. I don't know. I named off a few and there are many more. How has your faith gotten fluffy? Because some of these things, and maybe some that you could think of, this is fluffy faith. It's a faith that adds to grace, and we have to identify it and remove it. How do we do that? How do we remove the fluff? The yeast that leavens. How do you kill yeast? It was so funny. I was looking into this. I'm not a cook and I don't spend much time baking bread, but I was looking into this. I'm like, is there a way to remove yeast from dough? And the one thing that came up, not necessarily remove it, but kind of counteract it, was salt. How interesting. Because in Matthew 5:13, guess what Jesus calls us? The salt of the earth. And so We can't necessarily remove the yeast from our lives, but we can add salt. And what does salt do? This is so great. If you use salt in something, it'll enhance it and preserve it. And as we add salt, what we're doing is we're enhancing and we're preserving grace. We never want to lose sight of that grace. And we, all these things and all this yeast can come in and they can begin to puff us up. But what we need to do to counteract that is to remember grace. You want to remove the fluff of the flesh? Well, then what you got to do is you got to add the salt of the Spirit. How do you kill sin? How do you kill yeast with the fluff? You add truth and grace. 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, you unfluff the bread with certainty and truth. But it's difficult. It's really difficult. I know in my life it's difficult to remove some things that I've added or to stop trying to accomplish tasks so I can be seen. Whatever it may be, it's hard. And I find that I can't do it by myself, and neither can you. You can't, I can't, only Christ can. And guess what? He doesn't need your help. He does it by grace through faith. So my challenge to you is this: replace the fluff with grace. Replace the desires of the flesh with the fruits of the Spirit. Replace pride with humility. Replace gossip with truth. Replace judgment with understanding. Replace anger with kindness. Replace task with relationships. Replace sarcasm with vulnerability. Replace you with Christ. And do that every single day. What is it? It's less of me and more of you, God. I need more of His Spirit. I need more of His kindness. I need more of His goodness. I need more of His gentleness. I don't need to perform. I don't need to do all. I just need His Spirit within me so I can be the salt of the earth and go out there and preach that grace to others. God says we're saved by grace and we're baptized into Christ, and in that moment we receive the Spirit. And so you may not think you have what it takes to counteract the yeast or the fluffing or whatever it may be. You don't need to, because the Spirit within you is more than powerful enough. Trust in that. Rely on that. Go to that every single time, every single day, so that we can continue to preach grace, to preach love to those around us. I'm asking that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. I don't know where you're at in your faith right now. I don't know how God's challenging you. I don't know what tension you're experiencing in your heart and your mind right now. I don't know if you've identified some fluff in your life. But here's what I do know. The Word of God is a double-edged sword. And it penetrates down to the soul and to the heart. And if God's word is speaking to you right now, challenging you right now, my prayer is that you would not ignore that. Listen to me. God wants to remove whatever that is, whatever's hindered you or blocked you from His grace or even giving grace. He wants to remove it so He can begin to work and move in mighty ways through you and in you and to the others around you. One of the greatest gifts of the gospel of grace is that we get to share it. I wonder, what has your faith been sharing with others lately? Is it pointing to grace? Is it pointing to love? Is it pointing to kindness? Is it pointing to the fruits of the Spirit? Or is it hypocritical and judgmental and gossipy? And I pray you know I'm not here to condemn you. That is not this at all. Because just as much as the Spirit and the Word is speaking to you, it's speaking to me. And I want less of me and more of Him. Let the Spirit work and move in your life right now. Let Him cut out the fluff so we can experience the fullness of His grace and help others do the same. God, right now, continue to work, continue to move. God, you have been doing something. Your Spirit has been doing something so mighty and so powerful in us and through us and in our church as a church body. I feel it. But God, I know individually your Spirit is working and moving. And God, whatever doubts, whatever fear, whatever things we're having a hard time letting go of, God, I pray by the power of your Spirit, we would be free from it. That we would not go back to the yoke of slavery, the yoke of sin, to the yoke of, man, trying to prove ourselves to our parents or to someone else that we look up to, God, that we would seek out your approval and no one else's. God, I think someone needs to know here today that despite their shame and all the things that they've done and the feeling that they are not worthy, God, that they would know that your Son died specifically for them to bring resurrection, life, and power and purpose. Oh, I pray that. I pray that spirit of doubt and anxiety and self-hatred away, God, and replace that with your Spirit of joy and peace and hope in their life. God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for moving today. God, I pray what you're doing in each of our lives that, man, we can begin to see the evidence of it. And that we would be a people that would share and encourage and support one another as we're taking these steps of faith and growing, who we're becoming in you and growing in grace. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.